Synthaholics.
Welcome to Synthaholics. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Today you have myself. You will regret it, I guarantee you.
There is no chance that you won't regret this.
Today we have myself, Aaron O'Brien. We have David Duncan.
Kill me now.
And we have Holly Michelle.
Hello. Hello. And the dogs, of course, they have to start moving around as soon as we start.
And much to your sadness, dear listeners, we are not talking about the episode where Archer got jizzed on.
No, we are not.
By the cargo bay alien.
We're going to be talking about diseases and viruses that take place in movies and films and some other things, but
that don't stem from jizz.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm curious, at least not that we know of.
I'm curious, does this jizz cause some kind of viral infection?
I think most does.
Well, is it getting in your eye?
Calling children viral infections?
Oh, yes, they can be.
If it's getting
and then they just breed more as they run around your house. So,
oh, they make so many viruses. It's just, it never ends.
Yeah, wait till they go to school and they just all mix together. Ooh. Yeah, So this episode, because we have the COVID-19, we've been in isolation and lockdown for I don't even know how long now. I heard somebody said like 50 some days or something like that. I don't know.
Kaylee, what's the number on the meme? Are we at 50 something now? The meme we walk around on the street?
Oh, we're way past that.
No, we're way past 50. It's at least way past 50. So there's a meme on a corner. This house that's in our neighborhood, it puts out a meme every single day. I think we're beyond 50 at this point. I don't remember what the number is.
Well, New York State, yeah, because we are in New York State, they basically shut down everything. So, you know, we've been all managing. I know Holly is still working out there in Cali.
May 1st was day 49.
Wow, that's crazy. And it was before May 1st. Anyways, I haven't been working. Yay.
I work.
So it's been a while.
I work from home one week, then I work from the office another week, then I go back. So I get some office germs, you know, once a week or three times a week, I guess.
Right,
I'm still working. Right. I am about to go up a couple more days. Yay, me.
Yeah. Well, so this episode, we thought we'd talk about some of our disease, plague, virus, and everything, the fallout from it, that we like. So we're going to talk about some movies, we're going to talk about some TV shows, and anything else that anybody wants to talk about. So we're just going to go around and just say what we'd like, right?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me.
Why don't you go? You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. Do it.
All right. So the first one I picked, this is a movie, and I think everyone's going to know it pretty well. It's 12 Monkeys.
Ooh, Brad Pitt.
And Bruce Willis, and it's directed by the great Terry Gilliam. And this came out in 1995, and it's basically Bruce Willis is like a prisoner that gets sent down back through time travel.
He's a time traveling nun.
To stop a deadly virus that's going to wipe out almost all humanity. And he's looking for the army of the 12 monkeys. And he jumps around through time because they keep making mistakes in true Terry Gilliam style. It's pure confusion. And when he finally gets to where he wants to go, where he finds out where he needs to be. He's just a man that's been, he has to get a sample of this disease so they can find a way to treat it and get rid of it. So it's a fantastic movie. If you have not seen 12 Monkeys, you should see it. It is just a wonderful. You've seen it, Dave?
Way back in the day. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but yes, I've seen it. It's pretty good from what I remember.
Yeah, it's really good. How about you, Holly? Have you seen this movie?
Sorry, I've not seen this film.
Oh, you got to see this movie. So you have a very young Brad Pitt in this movie. And like I said, Bruce Willis goes into the past looking for this a sample of this disease, or find out how this disease got started. And he gets arrested. He gets put into a mental asylum. This is where he runs into Brad Pitt's character, who is crazy. And it's just so good. I mean, and it's such a fragmented story because Bruce Willis keeps on getting like sent back in time and having to figure out where he's at and what's going on.
Yeah, it does sound cool. Wasn't there a TV show called 12 Monkeys?
I don't know if there was ever a TV show.
I think it was a sci-fi show. I think they were just
making I wonder if it was the same kind of concept or not.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was.
Oh, there was.
But I didn't watch that either.
Yeah, no, there was. I'm just looking up now. Yeah, there's a TV adaptation, 12 Monkeys series, that was on sci-fi. But I never saw that. But yeah, definitely worth watching. I don't know where that's streaming right now, but it's definitely worth your time if you have the chance to see it.
Right. Cool. I'll have to do that.
Cool. So who wants to go next?
Nominate David.
All right. So my list is going to be a little bit different. I haven't been watching much TV. I pretty much watched my Star Trek episode for the week, and then it's pretty much it. So I haven't revisited much thing, but I do watch a lot of YouTube, and I've become obsessed with this channel called Gray Still Plays. And so he's got a video called Forcing 100 People into Social Distancing. So he uses
what is this,
it's a YouTube channel. The guy's called Gray Still Plays. He plays all these different simulation games, and and he's forcing 100 people into social distancing by distancing a generation. So he set up the Sims and set up 20 people with everything, basically a room with everything we need to live: a toilet, a bathroom, a bed, a computer, a TV. And then like he does it by 20. He watches them, and one of them, in the first 20, he picks one random person to see what they're going to use next. So the next thing they use, the next 20 don't get that. So like they take away the bed, then they take away the TV, and they take away. And ironically enough, the people who started with the most stuff pretty much all died out the fastest.
Really?
The people with, the person who won was actually from the original group, but the original group mostly died out the fastest, which was very strange. They had everything. They had food, they had a place to sleep, they could go to the bathroom, they could wash their hands, they could do all this stuff. And it was pretty great, pretty amusing watching him torture some Sims.
In the 90s, I did that quite a bit.
Torture your Sims, yeah.
Oh, I would make Sims, and I would do all awful Sims things. 4.
I kind of want to get the Sims 4 now, so I can torture them too, since we're in this like thing that we're in right now.
Bitches are quarantined with me. No doors.
Oh yeah, he took away all the doors, so there was like basically 100 cubicles.
I remember I stuck a Sim in I went in build mode and I built a wall walls around him with no doors and just watched him go insane inside.
Oh my
there
God.
And then peed his pants, cried hysterically for hours, and finally died.
The people in this video when they had their beds removed, they started sleeping in their puddles of piss.
Oh, I know, it's so gross. So gross.
They're not very cognizant of what's around them, especially when they're peeing on everything.
The Sims are kind of dumb. Yeah. They'll still eat rotten food.
This is why they burn down all the buildings in Sim City, which I've been playing a bunch of lately.
Yeah. They do that a lot. They start a lot of fires, that's for sure. I like the idea of The Sims, but it's very much it's not super realistic in some ways, you know, because they do weird stuff that people would just never do.
They do. But the people who had their TVs removed, they started just using their cell phones constantly. It was like real. He was like, this is disturbing on how much like real life this actually is. No TV, no computer. And they're just going to use their cell phone the entire time they're in the room. It was pretty crazy.
It'd be great if you just took away their charger.
I don't know if you can do that. But like the couple people who started getting really wacky sleep cycles since they were stuck in a room, they couldn't do anything. Just like people who are, but the, one of the guys who still had a bed, he started sleeping until like 2 or 3 in the afternoon because he would stay up late playing video games. Just like I'm sure many people are in this quarantine situation. So it was really interesting. Like he was like, wow, this is like kind of accurate for Sims.
Yeah, right.
And Grace still plays. He does pretty funny videos. He does a bunch of fun simulation type games, and then sometimes he'll do some like weird mobile games, and those aren't as funny to me. But generally, some of his stuff, he does a Roller Coaster Tycoon one that's also pretty hilarious.
Oh.
Yeah.
People are staying amused during this COVID-19 pandemic.
You gotta check out Grace still plays if you like video games and torturing video games.
G-R-A-Y or G-R-E-Y?
G-R-A-Y.
Okay. Gray still plays. Gotcha.
I have to look that one up. Maybe throw a link on there for the show notes so people can watch that video.
Yeah, I'll just put a link to his channel on there probably.
We'll have to like put a list of all of our lists so people don't have to like go back, like rewind and find all of the things that we talked about.
Find all of them. Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. Because
it's going to be a 15 by the end of this.
Yeah.
Throw the show notes.
How about you, Holly? What's your next one?
So my first one, it just makes me laugh how funny I watch Futurama all the time, and there's an episode of Futurama called Cold Warriors.
Cold Warriors.
Do you guys watch Futurama?
Is that the one where he thinks he wakes up in the future again and the world's run by children?
No. This is a episode, season 8, episode 11, I think, and it's where Fry takes him ice fishing and he gets a cold. And the common cold has been dead. The human race has not been exposed to the common cold in 1,000 years. And he gets a cold while they're out ice fishing, and he's like, oh, it's nothing, it's just the common cold. And they're like, and the whole team gets a cold, and Bender has to take care of them. And I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it who likes Futurama, but it does streaming on Hulu if you have Hulu. It's really funny, you know, the way that they try to quarantine them and then try to eventually eradicate the virus, and how they end up potentially getting, I'm not going to say if they get rid of the virus or not. That'll be too much fun. So
that's funny. This is 2011. So this must have been when they redid Futurama when it came and re-aired it. Yeah. Mm. Because I don't think I've seen all of those.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot to see at that time.
Futurama's like Family Guy. It's come and gone a lot of times.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess for at least, I think they brought it back in like 2012, and then it died again, and then they were like, one more season in like 2015, and it was like, okay, this is the last season, we promise.
I'll have to catch up on that, because I do enjoy Futurama quite a bit too.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Well, this episode is really it's really perfect for our situation. There's like a little bit of flashbacks to how they come to get the cure, because, you know, it's been dead for so long, you need like a strain of the virus in order to cure it, to inoculate everyone. So you get that little, like, you get some of Fry's past in the 1990s, and then you get like what's going on. So it's fun. It's a fun little episode. You can watch it on Hulu, or if you own it, break it out.
Yeah, I'll have to look that one up. I haven't seen that one. Yeah, it looks. I'm looking it up now. It looks great.
It was literally just like I was just listening to Futurama the other day while I was cleaning the house, and it came on, and I went, Bryce got a cold. This episode is going to be perfect.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, I'm looking at it. They got the whole base there all plasticked off.
Oh, yeah, shrink-wrapped.
Yeah, shrink wrap and everything.
I don't want to ruin it, so I'm not going to say what else they do with the shrink wrap, but it's funny. I mean, they don't do anything gross with the shrink wrap. Don't be dirty, David. But, like, there's this condoms. Part where... there's this part where Bender... You watch Bender spread the germ.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's great. It's pretty funny. Seems like something he would do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because... You know, as a robot, I don't know that it was a conscious thing. I don't think he understood that he was like a carrier. And it works just like our situation, because some people are carriers and they don't realize that they have this and they pass it along. And I just thought it was funny. A funny little moment, a little jab.
Right, right. Absolutely.
That's so great. Everybody's got to watch that. Cold Warriors.
Cold Warriors. I'm checking that one out for sure. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
My next one isn't necessarily on a plague, but it ends with a virus plague. Is actually kind of like goes to what your Cold Warriors is the 2005 remake of War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise. Did you guys ever see that one?
Oh yeah, I saw that.
No, I did, and I liked Little Fanning, but I just don't like Tom Cruise.
And then the Scary Movie 4 where Charlie Sheen was sleeping with, was it the girl from the Parent Trap remake?
Parent Trap remake.
Lindsay Lohan. He was sleeping with Lindsay Lohan. Oh. Whatever. And like it was an iPod that started singing music to it. That was a terrible movie. I'm sorry.
I didn't realize Lindsay Lohan was in that. I'm pretty sure the girl that was in that, wasn't that...
I think she wasn't a main star. It was just like Charlie Sheen was in there with two different women at the beginning. Yeah, it was just two random people, like two random stars. I don't think there were any other scene other than the one he wakes up next to him at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, okay.
And he has, like,
why did you bring that up, by the way?
Because that Scary Movie 4 parodies the Tom Cruise version of War of the Worlds, because they show the tripod come up, but it's like it looks like an iPod.
iPod.
Yeah, yeah, but it's called tripod. Yeah, it was dumb. It was awful. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody. I told you you'd regret this.
I don't think I've seen past. I might have seen Scary Movie 2. I'm not sure.
Yeah, can't remember.
I've seen one or two of them.
They got extra bad after 2.
Yeah.
They weren't that good in the beginning either. So
no, they just took a nosedive in quality after the first one. It just perpetually got worse and worse and worse.
Any bad joke they could make, they made it.
Yeah, I see.
God bless Leslie Nielsen, though.
What?
So the
I said God so the bless original... Leslie Nielsen though, because he was in two. I think he was in 2 and 3, or 3 and 4. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
So the original one that came out like in the 60s, I believe. I can't quite remember. I remember that one too. I like that one as well, and it's very iconic. But I think the 2005 like really encapsulated what it would feel like to be in that kind of world.
You know, the technology.
Not just that. Just like the personal view of you just running for your life with your family. You know, just like. Just being like, there's no safe quarter. Like even when he gets into like the basement with Tim Robbins and, you know, hiding out from the aliens and Tim Robbins totally insane, and how terrifying it is. Like he has to, you know, I don't want to get into what happens between him and Tim Robbins, but there's like this big altercation fight between the two of them, between Tom Cruise and Tim Robbins in that movie. And
I think a lot of the problem with the original one was that so much of it was rural. It didn't seem like surreal because they're just running through all these rural areas away from the aliens for the most part. There's a little bit of city like toward the end, but I mean like the new one, and you could definitely tell scenes they transposed from one to the other. Like the Tim Robbins scene is kind of one of the ones, because the basement scene or whatever with the probe becomes very similar setup.
Yeah. 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 But what they did with that one was even, to me, it was creepier with Tim Robbins being crazy. Because I don't remember the guy being crazy who owned the basement. I think they were just hiding in the basement in that last in the original movie. Oh, and yeah, obviously, yeah.
He wasn't crazy in the original. I don't think there was anyone else there. I think they just hid there.
Yeah, and obviously, War of the Worlds was also, it was made into a what's it called? A radio show,
radio by, drama,
Orson Welles. Yes. Radio drama, Orson Welles, that tricked a lot of people and all that stuff. That, you know, obviously is iconic as well. But I'm not saying that this movie is like the greatest movie in the world, but it definitely fills you with some dread, which is I think it does well at that. And then obviously at the end, you know, spoilers if you don't know, the end of War of the Worlds is, you know, the aliens all die from a viral infection. I think it's just a common cold that they get. So their immune systems. And so, like, humanity is, like, down for the count. Like, we're all going to die. Like, they're, you know, but then the aliens all take a nosedive because they all get their immune systems are compromised from landing on the earth.
They all get sick at the exact same time somehow.
Well, they don't all get sick at the exact same time, but they definitely start falling, you know, they stop functioning and I mean, they are, you know,
it's basically like Anakin blowing up the control ship in the ship in Attack of the Clones and all the robots just turn off.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it doesn't quite
go like that, but it's kind of stupid if you think about it because, you know, why would aliens coming to Earth, you know, not have that?
Not have a filter. Why don't they have a HEPA filter on their freaking spaceship?
Yeah,
they can fly through the vacuum of space, but they can't filter out contagions in the air.
I mean, it's kind of fun to imagine that. Like the roles reversed because you know we see so many like Star Trek episodes where like they go to an alien planet and they have to kind of wear breathing apparatuses to keep from catching whatever's on the planet or the environment. And I guess I just don't like Tom Cruise so much that I just totally could not pay attention to that plot line.
Really?
And I didn't pick up on that at all. Really?
It's funny because I don't like Tom Cruise as a person because, you know, I've heard a lot of stories with him, his involvement in Scientology.
Right.
Yeah. But I got to admit, the guy does pretty well in his movies acting. I'm not going to say he's my favorite.
And he's an actual vampire. He looks exactly the same as he did like 20 or 30 years ago. Kind of like Keanu Reeves. Yeah.
That's the thing is when you're that rich, you can just keep on getting all that constructive surgery.
Botox.
You've all seen Death Becomes Her, right?
Yeah, yes.
He's got the serum.
Yeah, he does have the serum, exactly. it's a fun movie. I'm not going to say it's the greatest movie, and you're not going to like love it. It's definitely, I mean, 12 Monkeys is probably a better movie if you're going to see anything, but War of the Worlds, entertaining, and it does definitely, if you want to be filled with dread for like a good, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, it's a good feeling because you're like oh my god, what are they gonna do next, oh my god, how awful, you know. So and the aliens are just so menacing, so that's what I like about it. So but yeah, check it out if you haven't, and you know, you don't have to like Tom Cruise, you know.
Some movies that are okay, like I've heard a movie called Oblivion that was good. I mean, obviously,
you ever see him in Tropic Thunder, where he's
Thunder's like his best role ever. Les Grossman.
What?
Yeah.
Burr.
Did you ever see that one, Holly?
I've seen Tropic Thunder, but I've only seen it once, so maybe I wasn't paying attention. I don't remember him being in it.
You wouldn't recognize him right off because he's like
he's in a fat
suit.
Is
this the one where he was like
he's bald?
Was he the character who took off the makeup and all this stuff? And he's like, I'm so and so.
No, he.
I'm remembering that weird.
He's like the movie producer, and he's like this like just total like
sleazeball type.
Sleazeball type A personality, just screaming in the phone and stuff like that. But he's got like makeup on to make him look bald. You wouldn't recognize him. He's got like a prosthetic nose. Even his hands are made to look even like beefier.
He's wearing like a whole fat suit because he's like big.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. But he did really good.
And he does it's this like, dance, like, which is incredible. And the thing, like is an amazing role. Like, it's my favorite Tom Cruise role ever. Because this is how I kind of, like, think how he probably would be in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's another one you could probably see. It'd be fun. But it has nothing to do with plagues.
Nope.
Got you.
How about you, Dave? What's your next one on your list?
Oh, man. Well, Grace still plays, as it has a wonderful catalog of doing terrible things to virtual people.
Oh, no.
So he has this game he's playing called Workers and Resources Soviet Republic, and it's called Forcing the Population to Evolve via Radioactive Alcohol.
What?
He was trying to, like, get the life expectancy down to 35 and also turn everyone into alcoholics from the day they're born. And he puts he builds a city around a uranium mine.
Oh, my God.
And then puts up all these nuclear reactors. And then he builds all the power pylons for your electricity. It's like a sort of like a city building game, but for Soviet Russia. And he starts building power pylons through the houses because the game's glitched to hell. And then he puts bars everywhere. he gets babies so that they're addicted to alcohol once they're born, but they can only get a 50% alcohol rating, and once they have that, their age expectancy starts increasing.
if they get alcoholism, their age expectancy goes up.
Yes, they're Russians. They love alcohol. I guess like it's he gets the people to be so dependent on alcohol. The children are born with 50% alcohol addiction, and then their life expectancy went up instead of going down, even though they're surrounded by uranium and crazy power lines that are running through their houses and everything. It was pretty crazy. I was like, huh. I was pretty amused, and this is kind of a disaster with all these nuclear reactors around it. He was trying to shorten the life expectancy, but made them into mutants that live forever.
Did they mutate?
Yeah, because he was trying to make the life expectancy of everyone to be like 35 or less. That was his goal.
But it didn't work because they got healthier with more alcohol.
Yeah, well, he also wanted to make them horribly addicted to alcohol, but he didn't realize the addiction to alcohol would make them live longer because they need the alcohol to live. It was pretty great. I've been watching a lot of YouTube.
So really? Alcohol kills cancer.
Alcohol kills, yeah, radiation poisoning and all that stuff. Alcohol it's a wonder drug, man.
I did watch Chernobyl, and I can say that probably is not true.
Well, see, the guy asked for a cigarette when he got exposed, and he didn't ask for booze. So would have been a completely different story if he didn't ask for a cigarette, because cigarettes will kill you.
I mean, technically, so will alcohol.
No.
Yeah.
Alcohol fixes radiation poisoning is what video games teach us. Cigarettes still kill you no matter what, though.
I actually did watch. I did watch. There was a YouTube guy who talks about science, and he went to actually Chernobyl in that hospital where all the firefighters threw all their stuff down in the basement.
It's still there.
Still there. The radiation is off the charts through the Geiger counter, but he said that a person who has a regular smoking habit has more chance of cancer than going down in that basement. Being exposed to that radiation.
Oh yeah, that'll kill you. That'll kill you real fast. And then they have the elephant's foot. That's like that metal that was falling down to the ground floor. That's like the radioactive core that just melted.
Well, that's different. That's insane. So,
are you saying that he stated that people who smoke cigarettes every day have more likelihood of getting cancer than someone going in this bunker?
It was a basement where the firefighters have.
I haven't seen Chernobyl.
I know. So this isn't spoiling anything, but the firefighters that originally went to the first, they were the first responders when Chernobyl started on fire, when the radiation really started leaking, and nobody knew at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They were horribly exposed to the radiation, and all their clothes were irradiated. And when they went to the hospital, because they were all like getting sick, they made them take all their clothes off, and they just threw all their clothes down in the basement of the hospital. Apparently, all that equipment, all the firefighters' equipment, is all still in the basement. It's highly radioactive,
wow.
And he did a calculations of how many like rads you'd be exposed to. So if you went down in the basement, you would be exposed to a high amount of radiation. But apparently a lifetime of smoking cigarettes or regularly smoking cigarettes, you expose yourself to more cancer poisoning than that radiation. So, I mean, again, who knows?
Cancer's crazy, though, because you could never smoke a day in your life and have lung cancer. Oh, yeah. And you could smoke your entire life and never have lung cancer. So
Therefore, cigarettes are safe.
Yeah. the thing is that everyone's biology is different. Some people are far more resistant to cancer biologically, and other people, like, you know, the sun hits them the wrong direction and all of a sudden they have cancer. So, you know, who knows, you know, and it's also what we're exposed to through our lifetimes. You know, who knows, like, what's in our drinking water, the air quality, all sorts of things we could be hit up with that we just don't even know.
Speaking of smoking cigarettes and cancer, do you remember the Cancer Man from the X-Files?
Oh, yeah.
He just was a chain smoker. Like, I feel so bad for that actor. Like, I feel like he just, like, either he loved that or he hated that so much because he was always smoking. Always.
I think he loved it. He must have loved it.
And then, like, they probably have to, like, smoke a different cigarette to get it down to the same size it was in the previous scene. Oh, gotta smoke another 6 cigarettes to get that just right.
I'm pretty sure they could come up with a way to make a cigarette, like, a fake one. But...
Yeah, true.
I mean, the X-Files was, like, early 90s, so...
They spent half the budget on actual cigarettes.
Do you guys remember when people were allowed to smoke, like, in restaurants? And
restaurants, the good old days.
Such a weird time. It's so weird. I remember when they finally outlawed, you know, cigarette smoking in restaurants and places in New York State. And then I went to Pennsylvania and I was at a restaurant. People were just smoking like chimneys. I was like, what the fuck?
What I think is this it's place? Still okay in Nevada.
Oh, I'm sure it is in certain places. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just weird because it's like when you go in, it's like feels totally different. So.
Yeah. I remember that smell.
You see, this is why coronavirus is killing us. We didn't put we stopped smoking inside of places, so we just got to start smoking inside of places so we can get more carcinogens to fight off the coronavirus.
When I was younger, I used to be around so many guys that just smoked, and I never smoked, but just the smell of secondhand smoke always around was just a thing. You know? Mm-hmm.
Secondhand smoke is probably one of the worst smells ever. Like, even like people, like, I had a coworker who used to, like, smoke, and, like, he'd come back in from breaks, and I'm just like, oh my God, go away, take a shower, put on cologne, do something, please, love of God. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a fan of secondhand smoke. Like, I like cigars, but I usually, like, jump in the shower after one, so I don't smell too bad.
Yeah, cigars can really stick with, you know what's great smell? Pipe tobacco.
Yes.
Oh, smells so good.
Speaking of,
but that's bad for you too.
No, it's great for you. I used to smoke pipe at my first college, Bellhaven, and like, yeah, I wasn't super popular, but like, man, all these people would stop by, like, oh, it smells like my grandpa, and then they just walk away. They wouldn't do anything else with the conversation other than that. And I'm like, oh,
they just want to be with you just to have that smell.
Just to have the smell, have the nostalgia, and then they'd leave. And I'm like, oh, thanks for not wanting to treat me like a person and talk to me. Just leave. Yeah, that's fine. I'm lonely. I'll start a podcast.
If you would have dressed like Gandalf, maybe you would have people talk to you more.
I even had the long-stemmed Gandalf pipe. That's what
did
I
you
smoked
wear the
college.
Hat,
no, I didn't.
Did,
I didn't have a hat, but I wore the ring on a necklace.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. How about you, Holly? What's your next one?
Okay, so I was going to break it up because I've got like two ones to watch. Well, I'm just going to do a popular film. That's all I'm going to say. 1995's Outbreak. Y'all seen it?
I have seen that. I think it's on Netflix right now.
It is on Netflix right now.
Wasn't it like a TNT original? I think I saw it on TV.
I don't know.
No.
It was based on a book. I know that.
It was Dustin Hoffman's in it. Mm-hmm. It's a big movie. Is it Michael
Morgan
Crichton?
Freeman.
Book?
What's up?
Isn't Michael Crichton who wrote that? Who did Jurassic Park?
I don't know. Mm. I just know that it was an interesting film, and I watched it when I was little. But if nobody, you know, if anybody needs to know about it, basically, there's an Ebola-like virus that's spread from a monkey. And I guess the whole idea of the film is, like, how far or what the government and the military is willing to do in order to contain that kind of a virus. And, so a little bit of the story, you know, a monkey gets stolen by a guy who wants to sell it on the black market, and he contracts this virus from the monkey, and then the virus spreads from that guy. And so they have to figure out how they're going to remedy the situation.
I know. So this is actually, it's not off Michael Crichton book. It's based off a book called The Hot Zone by Richard Preston.
Hot Zone.
But it's a nonfiction book, so they made it into a fictional movie. Mm. It's been a while since I've seen it. Actually, it's been up, like I said, it's on the Netflix feed, and I think it's on Amazon Prime too. But I've been meaning to pop that on just because of, you know, I can't remember if there's anything really gross that I can't have the kids watch it. I can't remember.
I mean, I don't know. I watched it as a kid, but I think we've decided that my parents exposed me to way worse things than you would expose your kids to. So.
Okay.
But I think I'm an okay person, don't you?
I do not mind, right?
But I mean, I don't remember anything terrible, but I also like watched The Langoliers. So.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's like the greatest movie, but it's definitely a great movie for this kind of subject.
Yeah, definitely. No. Definitely.
But yeah, that's I'm trying to see what this thing was rated. Can't seem to find a rating on this darn thing. Don't they have ratings anymore?
What's a rating?
I know, right? Anyways, that's definitely in I think I saw on there was a, I can't remember if it was a YouTube thing. I don't know if it's through Vanity Fair or somebody else, but they talk about like, they get somebody ask the experts, and they had like a guy from like the CDC or somebody deals with infectious disease, something like that. Watch the movie and then break down every time they've done something that they shouldn't have done.
Yeah. Did they watch Outbreak?
Yeah, they watched Outbreak. And the guy literally went through and was like, oh, you wouldn't do that because you would spread it. It's like just even like the common like movements that they would do, you know, like how they would touch something or they shouldn't touch something or how they had, it's just little things. I'll have to find it. I'll send it to you. It's actually kind of long. I think it's like a 20-minute video because the guy goes through all these little parts of the movie.
But
it's really interesting because you're like, these guys are meticulous when they deal with outbreak and contagious diseases. They're like, you know, what you can and can't do. The movie's rated R. That's why I just found it. Good call. It is a good movie.
Mention it. I mean,
oh yeah.
Do you remember? Like that was. It wasn't right after, you know, the Ebola virus, but it was like. It was still like fresh on people's minds, and they were like, a movie about the Ebola virus? What? And it's not the Ebola virus. But still.
This is 1995, and I think Ebola first came out in the 70s, but it only killed a couple hundred people in the very beginning. Mm. And then it's had different strains over and over. And obviously, we had that big one back in 2010.
Man, I had 12? Different strains times a day.
Oh, of Ebola?
No, bowel movements. Is it bowel movements?
No, not bowel movements.
That's a different movie.
It's a different strain?
That's a different strain. Don't strain when you're pooping.
That's why I have lesions.
Oh, no. Well, I'll go on to my next. Now, this is another one that's not quite about disease, and it's insinuated disease. So this is the 2006 movie Children of Men. This is with Clive Owen.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Suddenly, for no reason, we're not really sure why that there was. It takes place in 2027. Human infertility just goes down to nothing. So apparently people can't conceive any more children. And it's kind of like it could be because of a viral outbreak or something like that. But nobody really, it's never really fully explained.
Futurama has the answer. They all became robosexuals.
What is it?
Futurama has the answer. They all became robosexuals and people stopped doing stuff with the other people.
Oh, nice. Right. So it's basically, like I said, they people are basically human civilizations on the edge of extinction, and society's kind of just at the verge of crumbling. And it takes place in the United Kingdom. And like, it's just really like completely dystopic movie. It's like one of those really creeped out movies that you're watching. It's really well done. Like, excellent movie. If you just want to get lost in a world of dystopic world where, this character, Clive Owens, I think his name's Theo. Yeah. Theo. And he goes to this, he finds a woman.
He's Bill Cosby's son.
Yeah. Theo. Try my jello. Well, actually, but he finds this woman who actually is bearing a child. And he's part of this.
And you just close your boots and your motorcycle.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. They go on the run because they he's afraid of what the people would do if they found out this woman had is pregnant. And he's trying to get her to this place where she'll be safe. To have the child. So this is the kind of his goals, but he goes through all this like crazy, like it's kind of action adventure, but it's not over the top. So it's not like cheesy or anything like that, but there's definitely a lot of like, scenes where people are, shooting and stuff like that. But Michael Caine's in it. So
Michael Caine, I love Michael Caine's in
it. Yeah, he's in it. He's a guy that Theo Clive Owens character goes and stays with him for a little bit, and tries to get. Apparently, it's this thing called the Human Project. It's a ship, and they're supposed to take the mother to a safe place to have the baby. Anyways, really worth watching.
Women have babies anymore?
It's really worth watching, especially like dystopic. Pandemic feel. It's not over the top pandemic, like I said, but you definitely get the feeling like you might be at the end of it, like after all the shit went down. So they don't say why the infertility of humans started, but it's just basically that something happened in the past that people stopped having children. So
it's crazy.
Definitely,
all the movies you've mentioned so far.
That's awesome. It's like
even the original and New World of the Worlds.
Yeah. Those are two good ones, though. This I really recommend this movie if you want to just see a cool movie to check out. It's not really about plague, but it's kind of like the fallout of a plague. So what would happen? So
cool,
interesting. Yeah, good stuff. How about you, Dave? You got another YouTube?
Yes, I might have a couple more.
Yes.
I honestly haven't watched a lot lately. Nothing pandemic wise, and all these movies you've mentioning I've seen before, and also wanted to be a little bit different because we don't want to have repeats of things. And I've seen all these movies, but it's been a really long time since I've seen any of them.
Yeah, a lot of mine are like based on books, so we're all a little different.
We're all doing our own thing. Oh, okay. So he's still gray, still plays YouTube channel. He's Universe Sandbox 2, and he's got a video called "What Happens When You Use a Piece of Sand to Hit the Earth at 100 million times the speed of light."
A piece of sand.
Yes, a piece of sand. A piece of sand pretty much obliterates the earth at that rate. But he works his way up to it. He starts with smaller things at smaller speeds, and sees how bad they mess up the earth, and he just amps it up. Time and time again. So it's a pretty neat game. It looks pretty. You got all the planets going around. You can do all sorts of different things. He's done lots of videos and Universe Sandbox too. But I thought this one was pretty good. Just destroying the Earth and with that pandemic type feel. Let's wipe ourselves out with a piece of sand. A 100 million times the speed of light. Let's break physics too while we're at it. Maybe the spore drive. A million times the speed of light. Maybe the spore drive, when it spins, it could hit a piece of sand that fast. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder what that would be like. I mean, how could a piece of sand go a million times the speed of light?
100 million times the speed of light. Who knows? This game lets you break physics in really fun ways.
Apparently.
But it also like shows physics in a pretty interesting way, because he does other things with black holes where like you'll see them just fling off into space, or like black holes may not consume everything as much as they just like scatter every like collections of things they run into, which is pretty interesting.
Very interesting. When you play it, do you control the settings of how you do it?
You can control the size of the object you're throwing at Earth. If you're throwing anything at Earth, you could give Earth, rings of Saturn. You can give Jupiter rings of Saturn. You can do lots of different things.
Planet building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and destroying.
Yes. Planet building. You can drop a supernova. I think I found this guy's channel when we were talking about supernovas destroying like a big part of the earlier on in Discovery, because I was watching this and someone else was playing, I think Sandbox Galaxy Sim or Universe Sandbox Simulator, and they were like showing a supernova at 50,000 light years away or whatever, and it was still like, depending on how it spreads and propagates, it could damage things pretty far away. Like, huh. That's way more than I thought it would, so it was kind of interesting.
Nice. Yeah, very cool. How about you, Holly? What's your next one?
So, my next two are going to be book series. Cool. The first one I'll do is the most popular one. Have you guys watched the Maze Runner films or read the books?
No, I'm not even aware of it.
Okay. So, Maze Runner is it's fun. It's a fun film to watch, and especially since you've never watched it, I'm gonna try not to spoil anything, because they're okay. Pretty good films. They're pretty good. So the great thing about the movies, at least, is that the first film is really interesting, but it's not the plot. So it sets up what's actually happening, and the ending of the first film has a really fun cliffhanger, and it goes right into the second one, and then the third one, you kind of get the entire picture. So it's really fun. It's really fun. I haven't read the books. My sister has. She loved them, and she didn't tell me there were zombies, but
zombies.
She's a brat. So, so basically there's this, flare virus that happens. The solar flares affected the planet in some way. And like, I'm guessing like the planet kind of died. And so basically there's this organization, and, the post flare coalition decided to create a virus as a form of population control, and it doesn't go well.
It doesn't work well for them.
It doesn't work so well. So there is another organization that's trying to find a cure for this bio-created virus that they created that basically it was supposed to kill people slowly and humanely so that they could control their population, but it turned them into like rage monsters, like zombie like rage monsters. So the books are about finding the cure for it, and you don't know that in the first film, and you kind of figure it out in the second film, and then obviously the resolve ish is in the third, but of course one of the best characters has to die, so it's fun. So you can find it on Hulu Live. You can rent it on Vudu. You can rent it on YouTube. I think you can rent all three of them on Hulu or Vudu. I mean, but
how many movies are there?
There are three. There are four books. The books are written by James Dashner, I think. There's The Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, The Death Cure, and then the fourth one is a prequel, and actually, I think my sister told me that there's a fifth as well, and let me see if I can pull up. So there's The Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, The Death Cure, the prequel is The Kill Order, and then there's The Fever Code, which there also might be something called The Maze Runner Files. But yeah,
would the books be considered young adult books?
Yeah, I think so. My sister read them in high school. So
nice.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, they made movies the three of them anyway.
Yes, yes. They were going, I feel like they were, I don't know, the lead actor got hurt during the third film or something. And there was like, they weren't sure they were going to finish or something. But yeah. Yeah. So
That's those cool are fun. Because it's cool because yeah, my kids, I always try to get them into other books so they can, you know, and young adults, definitely that stuff that gets them into stuff that I normally wouldn't read right off the bat. So,
yeah.
But there's some good young adult stuff out there for sure.
There are. I have another one coming up later.
Sweet. Nice. Check out that.
Because I'm not a child. I mean, I'm not a child or anything, right?
I'm not a child. No, yeah, I don't.
It's a fun series.
I've read some young adult stuff that I think it's amazing. I mean,
yeah.
Just because it's geared towards young. Honestly, all they do is cut out like the really like sex parts or anything else.
Yeah, you'd see. It's stuff that really isn't trivial to the outcome of the story.
The most important things they cut out.
Yes. Well, unless you're reading Marquis de Sade or something like that, though, that's different.
I don't know who that is. But
look that one up later. Anyways.
I don't know if I should, considering where this conversation is.
No, you don't want to look that one up.
Get eye bleach.
Pretty crazy.
Get your eyewash stations ready.
Yes, exactly. my turn. Okay, so I am going to jump now into Star Trek realm. I think we'd be completely remiss if we didn't talk about the Naked Time from the original series, and then the sequel in Next Generation, The Naked Now. This is where they run into the original cast, go to a planet, and they find like an outpost, and everyone's dead on it. And it's a contagion that when they get it, they start acting basically intoxicated. And they all just kind of go crazy, and they start attacking each other sooner or later. So, and then later they find a cure for that, Bones does, and then in the Next Generation, then we get to the Naked Now, where they find the same disease, but it's kind of mutated, but it still does the same thing. So they can't use the same cure from before. And this is where we get the famous scene where Data sleeps with Tasha Yar.
Yay!
And, it's interesting. It's weird because it's first season and it's really wonky.
And
extremely wonky.
And she steals all of Deanna Troi's gorgeous clothes that we never, ever see her wear.
Yeah, and
I would have liked to see the Tasha outfit on Deanna. That was a pretty good outfit.
Even Geordi's not even the engineer. There's a Chief Argyle, I think his name is. So he was like a throwaway chief engineer for some reason. First season of Star Trek Next Generation, they didn't have a regular character for the chief engineer, which is bizarre to me.
They just had everyone on the bridge except for the doctor.
Yeah, and then Geordi got promoted like the next season. So
and Worf got promoted too. Tasha died.
He got when Tasha died. Yeah, exactly. They're both pretty iconic when it comes to like a contagion disease. So I'm not going to say these are both great episodes, but they are definitely fun to watch because there's lots of laughs to be had because it's so bad. You know, Sulu's running around with a rapier, just trying to fight people in the hallways of the Enterprise. Spock cries. Shatner overacts. It's great. So
no, not Shatner. What?
Yeah.
Game anyways, shows a Triskelion overacts?
I would have to say that the Naked Time, he overacts more than Gamester Triskelion. So.
Wow. It's been a while since I've watched that one then.
At this point in TOS, is it overacting or is it now part of the character?
Oh, it's just part of the character. It's just, you know, it's just what Shatner does. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's good. I mean, he does a good job, but it's just, it's so over the top. So,
but if you look at it from an acting perspective, I mean, his acting completely changes in the movies.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, you know, like, the overacting is like part of the character in TOS, but when he comes to the movies, he's like, I'm going to be in a movie now. I'm going to be way more serious.
People are going to take this shit seriously.
Right. Yeah, Shatner definitely said that why he did some of that was because it was to get because he had to make it more believable in some, not yucks, but more to get it more, to become more believable, because a lot of people were just like, it's just a silly sci-fi show, and he wanted to make it more dramatic. So whatever, you know.
I'm glad he did, because the movies would be so different if he was like TOS over the top Kirk. I almost kind of want to see an alternate reality where that happened and they're all like super hammy.
Yeah,
just to see if they're as good as they were. Because him playing the character seriously gives the character so much more gravitas. In the show, he's just completely silly, usually.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so the one thing with that TNG, the Next Gen one, was the Naked Now. I remember, being weird, because Data gets infected with it. So it doesn't make a lot of sense that Data isn't. But Brent Spiner's just such a comedic actor. He just lends himself to it so well. You know, acting silly, so.
Which is weird. Never, they had him play a person who, like, has no emotions to be able to act silly with.
Yeah, yeah. It is funny to watch, but it doesn't make any sense. So, so definitely watch those if you're looking for those. Those are definitely some great ones to watch. The rest of my list are all going to be Star Trek references, so just because,
as it should be. I mean, this is a Star Trek podcast.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's how we do on the Star Trek Synthaholics podcast. It always gets into other things every now and then. All right. So, have you ever wanted to build a machine gun out of airports?
A what?
A machine gun out of airports.
A machine gun out of airports or air parts?
Ports. Using
air parts too, but then I was like, air doesn't have any parts. I don't understand.
Airports. Yes. So Gray is playing City Skylines, and he's like, I'm going to make a machine gun out of airports and just have all the planes fly up in the air. But he makes so many, they just start flying in circles and they turn into a giant hurricane. He makes a category turn hurricane of commercial airplanes, turns them all pink. And then the pollution just goes way out of control and people start dying.
I just don't understand. The airport is in the shape of a machine gun, and like the runway is like the barrel of the gun.
Well, he puts like 30 airports next to each other, shoots them out all in the sequence so that it would be like a machine gun of airplanes.
So basically, air traffic controllers would be losing their mind right now.
Yes, yes. There's so many planes in the air, it turns into like a Category 10 hurricane because they just start going in these giant circles.
Gotcha.
With no place to go.
Actually, my parents were on a flight where were they coming? They were coming from the West Coast to the East Coast. And there was a big ice storm, and they weren't allowed to land. And I wish I could have been there. This would have been such a cool sight. This is how it was described. So all the planes had to kind of go in a circular flight pattern above the airport. And so planes were stacked above each other, going in circles, and you could look out the window and see planes above you. Like, wow. Just so fucking cool. It just sounds really cool. So, I mean, I'm kind of envisioning that, but not as catastrophic as
but also
that.
Might be terrifying at the same time.
I mean, yeah, if you're afraid of flying, but like they couldn't land, so they had to go into a holding pattern. It just sounds so fucking cool.
I know.
Until you run out of gas, then it's not very
until
cool
you
anymore.
Run out of gas.
Yeah, that's I was on a plane waiting to take off in Orlando years ago, and there was like, I looked out the window and there's like a zillion planes waiting, you know, queued up to go, and I was like, oh my god, I'm never getting out of here. It took us over an hour to take off because I think it was like bad weather, like a lot of rain or something. So
yeah,
so I've been stuck in a plane for a long time for waiting. So it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's never fun.
So
there's anxiety in flying, so then you're waiting to go, it's like more anxious.
Oh yeah, and not just that, but then you're like just stuck with a bunch of weirdos, you know.
I was fun people on the airplanes.
I don't talk to fun people.
You don't have any single serving friends?
What?
You don't have any single serving friends?
Single serving friends. I don't
like
know.
You met them once and you were friendly and then it was it.
Well, it's what he calls people he meets on airplanes in Fight Club. Fight Club's a great movie. It's not really a disaster movie unless you're talking about credit card disaster for City of Miami. Yeah. Other than that, it's a great movie. I love it.
You know, the couple times I've flown, especially by myself, I say hi. We talk like for a second, but I don't really get into it.
You put your hand on their lap and let it linger a little too long.
Yeah.
That's called sexual assault. Don't be doing that.
No, I haven't. I don't really talk to people too often. Once in a while, I talk a little bit, but not too much.
So. You don't like pull out a book and like stick it in their face and like read this.
Yeah, no. I basically bring a book with me and I just read.
Read Dune. Lockout Dune now. World.
Do you talk to people, David? Do you fly much? Yeah.
I don't know. Usually I gotta be talked to first, I think.
Oh really?
Yeah. I'm like
one of those.
I usually like play like Game Boy or Switch or laptop or, you know, I usually do some sort of video gamey thing on the plane.
Yeah. Gotcha. Believe it or not, I'm sure you could believe it, I'm like a nervous talker, so I'll start a conversation first. I think I flew back from Colorado to New York to JFK, and it was like, what's that? It's like a 6-hour flight. I talked to this like retired couple who goes to Ireland every year for a family reunion, and they were like showing me pictures of their grandkids. I was like 13.
Is that great?
Like telling me about their lineage, and like I just get people to talk to me.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Are you going to spawn children?
Well, I was 13, so probably not.
No, that's what you asked them on the plane. Are you going to spawn children? Tell me how many.
They were older.
Describe it to me.
That's not an appropriate question. But like we had like a gay stewardess sitting in the back with my mom and I. We were flying into Vegas, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, it's great. You should totally be a stewardess. You know, I fly so much, and I got this house, this penthouse here, and I got this penthouse here, and I fly all the time." And he was really nice, but he literally just like sat down and hung out with us.
That's fun. Yeah, I try not to talk to people that much. Not that I don't want to. It's just like I'm just like, you know what, you know, I don't want to be like pushy. Yeah. Although the last flight I was on, I remember some guy reading the newspaper and he kept on like snapping the paper like when he'd like would read it. And it was
like
really
a whip.
Annoying. It's like, yeah, I was like really annoying. I was like, what the fuck, dude? So
yeah. Some people are not
able to airplane again after the Rona.
Yes, you will.
No.
Someday.
Airplanes are going away.
No, they're not.
We're going back to walking.
Horse and buggy. But no, I'm just kidding. No, they're not going away.
Hey, the Pony Express is faster than the U.S. mail service sometimes, so you gotta wonder.
I've been to the Pony Express, okay?
Hey,
Yeah, across country we stopped there.
It's taken me over a week to ship something from Buffalo, New York to Texarkana, Texas. Granted, no one goes to Texarkana, Texas, but I can send mail there, so they should go there whenever I mail something, right?
I've gotten things from California in 2 days.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
But from New York to California.
I understand. I sent you something that came to you that quick, I think. No, but like I'm sending it to Texarkana, which is not even half the distance. It takes over a week to get there sometimes.
That's just poor planning. Not on your part. Not on your part. Well, anyway.
You're up.
That was a long dirt road. I'm up. long dirt road to Texarkana. So my next pick is another series. And I just want to say, you know, yeah, it's a young adult series, and I don't know. I like books.
50 Shades of Grey, they all die of syphilis.
This is not 50 Shades of Grey, but oh my god, that would have been a syphilis. Hilarious.
It all started with a little kiss. Now it hurts just to take a piss.
And my nose is falling off.
Get syphilis.
So the next thing I selected was the Lunar Chronicles. And at a first glance, it's really like an interesting a new take on like Cinderella and Little Red Riding Hood and Snow White and Rapunzel, but there's this underlying fever that it kind of goes through the books. And so the disease is called Letimosis. It's created on Luna, which basically in this world, there are people that live on the moon that come from the moon, and they live separately from us. And I can't remember what year. Gosh, it's like 23 something. I don't remember. No, that's really far.
It's 2 days before the day after tomorrow.
2 days before the day after tomorrow.
So in other words, today.
Jeez. Let me see if I can find like a date. I don't see a date anywhere. So anyway, the virus is it's like a disease that was on the moon, and most lunars are immune to it. But it does mutate, and there's a cure for it, but the queen of the moon does not permit any of these lunars to live. And so basically she kills any what they call a shell. They kill any of them. And what makes them a shell, you have to read the books. But she plans to infect the Earth. And she's got the cure because it's a disease that comes from Luna. So she's got the cure. So she's going to try to take over the planet. No, she doesn't have the cure on staff or anything. Yes, when she rolls out of her carriage.
Hello, I'm Robert Smith. I'm going to write you a couple songs. They'll probably make you feel sad.
You know, she just rolls around. She's their entourage. She takes some places to tour.
Bunch of goth entourage. That'd be great.
Jeez. Well, anyway, it's a blood disease, and it kills you in a couple of weeks. Like, as soon as you get it, you are quarantined, and you are not allowed to be seen by your family. You are seen by robots and other people who are infected, and that's it. So, I just felt that it was a good one to mention, especially when you're all sitting at home. I know I have copies, physical copies, but I also have it on my Kindle. They're not very expensive, but it is a fun world. And if most of our listeners are guys, they're not going to want to read about Cinderella and crap. But Cinderella's a cyborg, so that's fucking cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Alita.
Does she take off her arms and beat people with them?
her foot, maybe. So yeah, Cinder is a cyborg. Scarlet, she's got like, well, I'm not gonna ruin any of it, but anyway, it's cool. And it's got that disease and people dying, and so it affects everyone, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty great. That is written by Marissa Meyer, and I fucking love the world that she built. It's really cool. I feel like I am Cinder.
How many books is
Yahoo
it?
CEO? Marissa Meyer?
Marissa Meyer.
Oh.
How many books is it in the series?
So there are five. There's Cinder, Scarlet, Cress, Winter, and then Ferris, which is like a prequel about the Evil Queen.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Nice. It's pretty cool series. Your daughter may like it. How old is she again?
She's 10 now.
10, yeah. It's definitely a young adult series, but it's really cool. I think 10-year-old is a good age.
Yeah,
there's a website where you can go and look at like parental ratings for like ages on certain book series. I don't know.
She's been doing graphic novels lately, so but like kids graphic novels, not reading the Washington.
There's a Lunar Thistle graphic novel, and actually, there are two or three spin-offs to this as well. Wires and Nerve and Rebels or Rebellion or something. I don't have those ones. But yeah, no, this is. I'm pretty sure there's a graphic novel as well.
Because she would definitely, if there's a graphic novel version, she'll definitely read it.
There might be. Yeah. But yeah, that's my next one, and yeah.
Cool.
Fun nice. Times.
I like that. My next one is another Star Trek one. This is the Next Generation Symbiosis. This is I think we talked about this at some point, Dave, way a long time ago, but I don't think it was for. I think it was a Prime Directive one. We talked about this. This is the one where there's two planets that are a part of a society that. One has a disease and the other one has this cure, and they're trying to peddle the cure to this other people, this other planet who has the disease. And they're supposed to, the Enterprise is supposed to broker a deal between both of them. And what happens is they find out that they never had, these people have had a cure for the disease all the time. They're just hooked on this medication that they gave.
Oh, and so one where David was in.
What's his
name? That actor.
Bennett. I forgot his name right
now. He freezes Riker with the silliest face on.
Yeah. It's when, because they have this weird, like electrical power where they can discharge electricity off of their hands. But I just thought it was a really well done episode. And it's like Picard has to walk this tightrope with the Prime Directive. Thankfully, it kind of worked out in his favor to make the how to deal with it. But it's definitely this is an episode that's, you can go back and watch, and it's not like a shitty episode. It's first season too, so it's that's saying a lot. So
oh yeah, because first season's usually pretty hard rough.
Hard to watch for sure. But yeah, you can definitely go and watch this one, and it's Symbiosis. It's first season. It's episode 21. Yeah, so
nice,
great episode to watch if you're looking for a good, you know, disease type episode, which you find out they don't really have it anyway. So everything's fine.
No, that's sad.
Yeah,
they were trying hard to get rid of it, and they never had it to begin with.
Well, they did have it. They just don't have it anymore. So, Merritt, what's his name? Merritt Buttrick is the guy who played the character who also was Kirk's son in Wrath of Khan.
He died pretty young, though. Didn't he die like relatively soon after that episode of TNG? Because I feel like he died young.
Did he? I don't know. Let me look it up. I'm not really aware if he died. He died 1989.
Yeah, like right after that episode, basically.
Kind of, yeah, it's crazy.
My random memory doesn't fail me all the time.
It helped me this time.
I remember things. My brain works sometimes. Right. Useless information, but there it goes.
So there we go. Dave, what about you? What's your next one?
Well, this one's space centric, at least, kind of like the previous one. Gray surrounded a planet with black holes, and first he was surrounding Saturn with black holes, and it was pretty awesome. It's just, you put one on either side, and you just all the rings just started separating and like getting flown off into space, just flung off to the gravity. It's pretty crazy. He started off with ones that are like a centimeter big. It's just crazy the power that black holes can have because of the mass you're dealing with. Because you don't need a lot of black hole for for things to start going crazy. Then he started getting bigger and bigger black holes. He made one like the size of the sun, which is like infinitely more massive than the sun. And yeah, it starts to create havoc. And the rings are just so cool because all of these little, you know, rings of planets are just like a bunch of little rocks or asteroids. I mean, it may not be little, but you know, considering how big they are next to a planet. They're little. And they just make these beautiful swirls of, like, death and destruction. It's great. He put them around Earth, too, and then Earth got cut in half and all sorts of fun stuff that you could do with black holes in universe sandbox.
Hey, kids, fun you can do with black holes.
Black holes are just for kids. And he like Saturn, and then he put rings around Jupiter, did the same thing, and Jupiter just like all the rings started colliding into it, and Jupiter just like died. It just
so this is like faded. What Q would do if Q was a child and just could just play around with a black hole.
Great. Like yeah, it should be called Q Simulator. You want to feel like God in the universe? Just grab this guy. I think you can do stuff with galaxies too. You can like smash galaxies together and do all sorts of weird stuff. Quarantine's great for gaming. Play some games.
Yeah, for sure.
Watch some gaming videos. I don't know. I enjoy his stuff for the most part. I recommend his channel, but more the if it looks like a cell phone game, I would skip it because those aren't nearly as fun as some of his other things. But I highly recommend his channel. It's fun. He posts almost every day, so I always like check his channel, see what's going on. I want to see whose life he's ruining virtually. It's pretty great.
Nice, cool.
Sounds fun.
What about you, Holly? What's your next one?
Well, I wanted to go with something a little different. Not that I wasn't already different enough with my young adult books, but very adult and inappropriate audience. I thought it would be fun to talk about isolation.
Okay.
And so one of the films that came, the first film that came to mind about isolation was The Passengers, which was like a 2016 film.
Okay.
With Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. Did you guys see this film, The Passengers?
I don't think I even knew this film existed.
I did not see that one. I wanted to, but then I heard he was super rapey and I didn't.
I mean, so that's another part to talk about with this whole isolation thing, you know. Some people are not built to be in isolation. Some people cannot handle this. Some of us are doing just fine, but some people just can't cope. And so basically, the story, there's a ship, and it's transporting like 5,000 people who are going to go colonize a new planet. And the crew and the, you know, colonizers are all in hibernation. And, it's supposed to take like 120 years to get there. And 30 years into the journey, an asteroid hits the ship and it malfunctions one of the passengers' pods and he wakes up and it's 90 years too early and he's all alone. So the first, like, I don't know, 20 minutes of the film where he's like alone, he's like trying to cope with how he's going to live his life alone. He starts out, you know, I'm just going to work out. It's going to be great. I'm going to eat this crappy breakfast. I'm going to walk around the ship. I'm going to moonwalk because I'm so fucking lonely. Like, he stumbles upon the pod of a woman who's very beautiful, very attractive. And he looks her up and he finds out about her and why she's on the colony's journey, like why she's going to go colonize this planet, why she decided to leave Homestead. And so it's like he falls in love with like the idea of her. Like he falls in love with her because he's like, he like obsessively watches her videos. Well, he fucks with her hibernation pod and wakes her up. And lies to her and kind of tells her that you know, his pod malfunctioned X amount of days ago and her pod must have malfunctioned too. And so they form a relationship and then actually it's really fun because there's a robot who's the bartender. And he's a real fun little portion because for the most of the movie, he doesn't tell her that he's been awake and that he did this because he confides in his bartender, because who doesn't? And now I'm going to get into ruining and spoiling the movie. So you have to watch it. It's fun. It's a really interesting concept on what you would do if you were stuck alone for 90 years. So yeah, fun film. The Passengers. You can watch it on Netflix. It's on Netflix.
I'll check it out. Yeah, for sure. And but it, basically, he doesn't do well by himself, so he wakes somebody else up. Gotcha.
Yeah.
He should have woke up the dinosaurs. or the talking raccoon.
Honestly, I think, what was he? I can't remember what he was.
Or Aubrey Plaza.
He's an engineer. He's an engineer. So yeah, it's just fun. It's really interesting. Obviously, it's like a futuristic love story. Bad things happen, and like there's a reason why his pod malfunctioned.
Okay.
So like, there's a little bit of suspense in it too.
She pre-sabotaged his.
She was secretly in love with him. She did it. But no, yeah, it's pretty fun, and the effects are pretty good. It was a pretty good film. Came out while I was working at the video store. I was kind of obsessed with it, actually.
Nice.
So yeah.
Check. Oh.
Yeah.
Fun one. I don't think I even knew that one existed.
Look at all the things we're all learning.
Yeah, exactly. Some movies come out and you're not aware that they even happened. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So that was your last one, right?
Yeah, I had a couple other that were kind of about isolation as well. One of them has a point about exposure to germs. So I don't know. We could talk about that after, or I could bring them up now. It's up to you.
I'll go to my next one, Roy. Okay. There's another Star Trek one. I think we talked about this. Maybe the second episode, but This Side of Paradise. It's with the flowers that explode the seeds into everyone when they go down the planet.
That sounds like you mean impregnate. That sounds kind of
crazy. It's a good, actually, there's some good parts of the episode, but it's silly in its own right.
It's like the naked now with flowers.
So they go down this planet and they find that the planet doesn't have, like, nothing's growing in the planet. Everything's kind of staying the same. It's a colony. So it looks like an old farm. And when they get down there and the away team gets hit by these flowers that shoot these spores, and they kind of like infiltrate the people's like brains, and they become subservient to the flowers, but more in a placid way. They're sort of like, isn't everything wonderful? And let's just hang out and enjoy ourselves here. And Spock gets kind of, his brain gets hijacked with this old acquaintance from him from years ago. And they kind of have like a love moment between Michael each Burnham. Other. Yeah, no, it's not Michael Burnham.
Damn.
And then Kirk, basically everyone gets infected with this thing, and everyone leaves the Enterprise, and Kirk's like the only guy up on the ship, and he's got to break everybody's the plant control. And somehow Kirk gets hit with the spores as well, but he just wills himself not to be taken over. That's probably the most unbelievable part about this whole thing. It's a fun episode.
He loves
his
ship more than he loves possibly having sex with a woman.
And that's funny because it's the same thing that happens in the other one, The Naked Time, where they all get kind of that drunk disease where they all act crazy.
Is that the name of the episode?
Yeah, it's the name of the episode. Yeah, because they basically reveal who the people are behind everything.
Okay,
behind
metaphorically, so, not legitimately. Yeah, sort of.
Well, like, what's his name? Sulu is like just becomes like in the Naked Time, he becomes like this like adventurer. It's a good episode. They're both interesting episodes to watch. But this one, I think, is pretty good for Spock because Leonard Nimoy gets to act and you see him smiling and stuff like that. And it's an interesting... I like the episode. I thought it was really well done. And like I said, we talked about this like maybe episode 2 or something like that. I don't even remember, Dave, was so long ago. So it's a fun episode to watch for sure.
Cool.
Still there, Dave?
I'm alive. Yeah, it's like Naked Now but with flowers, or Naked Time but with flowers.
Yeah, but and Bones is walking around with a mint julep the whole time.
And everyone on the ship is beamed down except for Kirk, and he wills himself not to beam down. Because they don't have their comm badges that you can just tell the ship to beam them back up, like in Next Gen and DS9.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I like it. There, I mean, there's a lot more episodes with people getting diseases and stuff like that. These are just ones that I know that I like. But how about you, Dave? Anything else you got in your list?
Nope, that was my five. All
right, cool. Did you do five?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
And how about you, Holly? Your last one that you got for?
I had two. One that's definitely one I've thought of actually while we were talking pre-show. But one I feel like is important to mention is Castaway, you know?
Wilson!
All alone, no toilet paper, you know, very relatable.
FedEx doesn't work anymore. It's just like real life.
Just like real life. So I thought that was a fun one to mention. But also, there's another film based on a book called Everything, Everything. And it's a book by J. Mills Goodloe. And the reason I thought about it was because David had mentioned something about some whack job talking about, well, I won't say whack job, let's not judge, but somebody talk about how the sand and the water has healing properties and we need to be allowed to go to the beach and all this stuff. And we were talking about immunity and being exposed to germs and how that helps your immune system. And there's this book, and the film is pretty good. I haven't read the book. It's called Everything, Everything. And it's a love story, but there's this mystery aspect to it. And have you guys heard of this at all?
The book or the movie?
Nope.
Oh, either.
No.
Okay. I don't want to ruin it because you guys know how I watch TVs and I'm always predicting shit. I didn't see the end. I didn't see this coming. So basically there's a girl who is, I think she's like 16, and she's sick and her mother is a doctor. And so her mother comes and goes from the home, and her mother has to like quarantine herself every time she comes in the house. She gets like, she takes off what she has to, and she changes her clothes or whatever. She's, like, sprayed. I can't remember. It's been a couple of years. And then she enters the home, and her daughter's never been outside. The doctors come to the house. She's homeschooled. She's got no connection to the outside world. And then, like, this boy moves in next door, and he sees her.
Uh-oh.
Like, they trade phone numbers, and they start texting and talking to each other. And basically, she escapes. And she's exposed to the outside world, and she gets really sick. And, mm-hmm. you know, she's grown up understanding that she's got this terrible illness and that she can't be outside or she'll die. And she finally decides that, you know what, I love this kid. I want to learn to live. And mainly, they don't like, I don't think they have, like, sex or anything. But she, like, runs away, and she just wants to see the ocean. And he takes her, and they spend a day or two together, and she goes in the ocean, and she just gets really, really ill, and he has to take her to the hospital, and he decides that he needs to leave her because he's bad for her or whatever. And,
okay. And
it's really interesting because, yeah, her immune system was so bad because she had never been outside. And there's more to the end of the story, which I just find so, so fun and clever because, like I said, I did not see it coming, and you guys know how I am. So
she stands on the rollerball thing and holds her sword out at the moon.
No, but it is a good movie. Like I said, it's like a romantic drama thing. It's cute, but it's like teen cute. And but it is, I think it was done well. So I bet the book was written pretty well.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I just wanted to mention that because we were talking about immunity.
Yeah. It actually just brought up mind a comic that I read, and I can't believe I didn't even put. No. It's called. It's more of an indie comic, but it's called Black Hole by Charles Burns. And you can get this on, like, I mean, if you go to any, like, probably like Barnes and Nobles or any of your big store sales, they'll probably have it in the graphic novel section. It's all black and white. But it is just amazing ink work that this Charles Burns does. And it's all about these kids in the 1970s. And it's, basically just, sexual transmitted disease. And what happens is when they get this sexual transmitted disease, they mutate. What? And they get like they get these, like, some are more mutated than others. Like, some are like something you can hide that nobody would see, and others are like their skin gets all, like, you know, bubbly and stuff like that. And so like it everything's weird. So there's all this weird stuff that, you know, that goes on. But it's basically like falling in love, being young, all that stuff. But it's really well done. Just and fantastic comic. Obviously not for kids. This is, you know, it does deal with sexuality and stuff like that. So, but really well done. But if you haven't checked out Black Hole by Charles Burns, check that out. It's definitely worth reading, especially if you like kind of indie comics. There's no superheroes or anything like that. It's all just a story taking place in the time. The only real thing is that it's a little bit of like a horror side because these people are mutated and stuff like that. So, cool stuff. But yeah, just your story about that just kind of brought that to mind.
Gotcha.
You know, two people falling in love and then having to deal with getting sick, you know, from that. So, yeah, I mean, that's cool. Isolation is a weird thing that I don't think anybody really thought about when they thought about a pandemic. I think we all just assumed like pandemic would be like, you know, some awful disease and we would just hope that we wouldn't get it or something like that. But isolation has really been something that we're all trying to, deal with. Yeah. It's like you said, some people it's easier than others.
Yeah. There's, you know, in the military, it's people are finding it very difficult because in the military, you know, you live a hardened life. And so when you're told, all right, you are not allowed to leave your room for 2 weeks, you're not allowed to see anyone, you're not allowed to talk to anyone, that can fuck you up, especially with the life of a soldier. Not that the Marines are soldiers. Don't get offended, Marines. Sorry, the life of a warrior. Thank you. Okay. So, yeah, isolation is pretty, it's a serious topic. And, you know, the ugly part about this whole thing, you know, a lot of people are trying to stay positive. And, you know, something really shitty about this whole situation is that there are kids in the system who are in abusive families, who are trying to get placed into caring, loving families, and they can't. Or they're in an ugly custody battle, and they're assigned to the wrong parent, or the parent that's just getting away with everything left and right. And right now, there's no home checks. I mean, there are some people out there that are doing home checks still, and I really admire that. But yeah, this whole isolation thing, you know, people are talking about kids not being able to eat because they don't have school lunches. You know, being alone, some people just can't handle it.
Yeah, that's true. You know? And there's people who are stuck in a house with an abusive spouse.
Yeah.
Whether it's verbal or physical. So there's that too.
Yeah.
And there's people who are just plain squirrely when they being stuck in a place for too long, you know, they want to get out. That can be. My father-in-law, he's, you know, in his 70s and he will not stay home to save his life. You know, he wears a mask, but he's more susceptible than me or anybody here. It's just, you know, because of his age, but he will not stay home. He just goes out all the time. And we're like, could you just chill out? But he lives alone.
It's tough because, you know, at that point, I mean, I don't know how old he is, but, you know, my papa's 90 and he's done a lot of great things And so, you know, but he's like, nope, I'm going to fucking go out. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And it's like, yeah, but we don't want you to. Like, could you not?
Well, that's where I think you have to understand that your life is not just your own. It's you're connected to the people around you. And
It is
sometimes we all make decisions. We all do. Even before all this happened, we make decisions that might put ourselves at risk one way or the other. You know, if it's a bad choice to do, like texting while driving, or I mean, there's so many
drinking
things
and driving,
drinking, drive. There's so many things people could do just to put themselves at risk, you know, for all sorts of reasons. But, you know, it's, I understand the idea that we are social animals. We just, we need to be with contact. And, you know, if we don't have it, we kind of go crazy. So it's understandable too, but, you know, we got to know that this is only temporary.
Yeah. You know. It is. It's sure. It'll be short. Just follow the rules. You know. Granted, this virus is never going away.
Yeah.
We're gonna learn how to treat it. You know. We need to learn how to live with it.
Yeah.
It's not going away.
And that, you know, that's the thing too. Is like we're all gonna get this virus some shape or form in the future. Mm-hmm. The idea is to quarantine or to keep ourselves social distance towards everybody is to keep the hospitals from and our healthcare
being
system
overloaded.
Being overloaded. So
yeah,
hopefully,
we need time to find a way to inoculate people or treat it at least. And that's important, and I get it. This people think that us being home is supposed to kill it off. That's not how this is working. It's not gonna happen.
Staying at home is to relieve the hospitals. We have to get a vaccine, and then once enough people are vaccinated, there'll be some herd immunity, just because not everyone gets the flu shot, but a lot of people don't get not as many people get the flu because there is that herd immunity. I mean, I just started getting flu shots a year ago for the first time. I got one this year and last year, so those are my first two flu shots, but I haven't gotten the flu since I was like a kid. So I mean, like, herd immunity does work to a point, but people have to be vaccinated enough to have that help.
Yeah, hate me if you want. Sure. I don't do flu shot, and I don't necessarily get on board with all these vaccinations that are regulated. So hate me if you want to. I don't care.
Not regulated?
No, the ones that are like recommended. I'm not saying I disagree with every vaccination, but there are some that I don't agree with.
Oh, like the flu shot's a funny thing because it does help some people, but it's like sometimes it misses the mark. Like I think the year before, the different strain of flu took hold instead of the one that they were pushing.
Well, so, the one that the flu vaccination is always the strain from the year before. So even if, you know, the strain is going to mutate every year. So the flu vaccination that you get, it's not this year's flu vaccination. It's last year's. You're always behind.
Right, but there'll still be floating around. So, but, you know, and there's all this different ways of how they basically not inoculate. It's how they culture the flu virus to give you, because there's chemicals and stuff like that put into it. Like there's some kind of mercury that they put into some of them. That's what people get freaked out about, especially with the autism things that they throw out. So that's concerning for sure. But from what I've read, it's such a minor amount. It shouldn't give you autism, but you just don't know. I mean, we're all exposed to so many chemicals, not just with vaccines, but with everything, you know, from, you know, what's in the water, what's in our food, what's, you know, I mean, things that we don't even know we're coming in contact with, you know, so it's hard to say what anything does to you.
Right.
So, but quarantine is definitely, can be challenging.
And it's important, like, definitely not saying it's not. I think it's very important that we all abide by the suggestions. We need time to figure this out, and people just need to be smart, man. Just be smart.
Well, and I look at this as, you know, I mean, New York State here, we've had probably the most amount of deaths related to this COVID-19. But, you know, it's not a terrible disease. It's wiping out people like, you know, like we've seen in past diseases. It just like takes out tons of people. So this is kind of like a good practice run in case anything ever does come
worse.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but the thing is, even if it doesn't kill you. Even if this disease doesn't kill you, if you do recover from it and you had a severe case of it, you're never going to be the same again because of the scarring it does to your lungs and whatnot.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, it's going to do some shit to people for sure. So, I know. I mean, and it affects everyone differently. Some people, like, nothing happens to them. And other people, it's like... It's they're on death's doorstep. So, I mean, it's so bizarre, and it's going to take us probably years for doctors and scientists to figure out exactly what's going on with this virus. So,
yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I don't think I talked about it much when it was going on, but like two of my coworkers had walking pneumonia, and then all of us got sick. Every single one of us in the office was sick with some kind of weird cough or congestion in the chest. I never had mucus or anything. Never had any fever, but I had this like outstanding pressure in my lungs, and my coworkers, every time I described it, they were all like, yeah, that's exactly how I felt. And it's like, yeah, I think we all had it already. I think.
Well, you could definitely get yourself tested sooner or later. So.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they don't want people going in if they don't have severe symptoms, because I could give it to somebody, but I'm also still working, and like I'm not allowed to go get tested, but I also have to go to work. But I don't know. It's not enough to say I'm a clean person. It's, you know, I'm pretty OCD about stuff. Don't share I don't share anything at work, but somehow I
still... Don't share your face masks.
Yeah. Oh, do you need to borrow my face mask?
Don't share your Kegel goop.
Kegel goop?
I don't think she knows what that is.
Gwyneth Paltrow has a line of things called goop, and I think it's like she's got like a Kegel weight.
My God.
Don't share that.
Definitely don't share that. Well, anyways.
Well, before we wrap up, I do want to say I did make a mistake. The author of Everything, Everything is actually Nicola Yoon.
Nicola Yoon. Okay, yeah. Cool. Nice. I'll have to check that
out. So go ahead and wrap up, Aaron.
Yeah. Well, we hope you enjoy this episode. While we're all locked up and just trying to figure out what our lives are going to be like for the next, well, hopefully next couple months, if we're going to start opening things up or if they're going to stay closed. So we have to figure that out, and we have to all adjust somehow. So maybe these will give you a couple ideas of things you're going to watch and enjoy that have plague-ish themes. Some more than others. So, anyways, you can find us, as always, at Synthaholics.com. You can go to our Facebook page if you want to join our group at Facebook.com/groups/ Synthaholics, and you can join the group there. We can talk about Star Trek and plagues and anything else. So that's always fun. Please go to our Patreon if you think this show is valuable, and you can donate there at our Patreon.com/ Synthaholics. Check us out also on Instagram. Our Instagram is Synthaholics.podcast, and we are at Twitter at Synthaholic Duel. So all great things. You can reach out and say hi and help support just by sharing or tell people about us or donating to the show. So
I'd really like to know 5 of your favorite, like, quarantine, virus. I mean, obviously, zombies.
Zombies, you know, are great, yeah.
You know, you could consider the vampire, you know, becoming a vampire, like a virus. Like, love to hear of your everybody else's, like, maybe top 5, like.
Yeah, nobody brought up The Walking Dead, so.
Well, Maze Runner. Like I said, in Maze Runner, they're like zombies. but I'm not a big zombie fan, so no thanks.
The Walking Dead comic was brilliant. The show, I only was able to enjoy the first season and just got flushed down the toilet. And there's a really weird trilogy. There's 28 Days with Sandra Bullock. And there's 28 Days Later with Cillian Murphy. What? And then 28 Weeks Later. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure the first one has anything to do with the second two.
I think they're all related. I think in the 28 Weeks Later, they find someone who's like immune to it, and they try to find a cure.
Oh, yeah. But 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later are related, but there's a movie also, 28 Days with Sandra Bullock. It's a romantic comedy. Oh, it has nothing to do. I was like, it's a really weird trilogy.
The majority of us are drinking while listening to this, and some of us are gullible, so knock that shit off.
Well, you know, I got
I'm over here like Sandra Bullock killing zombies. Interesting. Okay.
That would be 28 Days is a romantic comedy. I got to throw curveballs. You know, I didn't pick any movies or shows because I didn't want to do any doubles, and so I picked really weird off the wall things that are all on the same YouTube
and none
channel.
Of us had the same thing.
Yes,
I was surprised that happened.
That's true.
And I've seen everything that Aaron had, and I've seen like one or two things Holly had, so
we all learned something. I guess I'm going to check out Dave's one that he keeps talking about. So
yeah, it's good. I enjoy those a lot. They're pretty good. I enjoy them. Cool. I've laughed pretty hard. I'll start sending those out to my coworkers halfway through a video because I'm laughing so hard.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I interrupted your goodbye. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Hey, guys, just stay healthy, stay safe. Hope you're all in safe places where you can just sit back and watch the movies and, you know, chill out and hopefully stay sane during all this. And, you know, what are we going to do?
Wash your hands and prosper.
Wash your hands and prosper, people. That are very good. Like, all right, guys. Take care. See you next week.
Next week. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. We survived the pandemic episode.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
I wonder how people are going to take it, because it's really just like how we all sit around and bullshit, behind the scenes. Yeah.
It's a whole episode. So, it's a whole episode of behind the scenes. It's a whole episode of outtakes. Almost 2 hours.
Is it almost 2 hours?
Yeah, we're at an hour and 50-something minutes now before edits. I accidentally hit stop in the middle, so I just got two separate files.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was going to say, because I came in pretty late, so you would know that. But yeah, I've been on this call for 2 hours and 12 minutes, so yeah, I believe you, Dave.
Yeah, it's a long one.
It's a long one.
I thought this would be a quick one.
Yeah, but I mean, the three of us each had five, so I knew it was going to be like 15 things to talk about, and I knew I tried to keep mine concise, but then we all had to kind of comment on each other's.
Mine were pretty short, though. I thought, although one of mine went really long for some reason because we talked about planes.
Well, yeah, we did. We sure did. But I mean, I think it's totally relevant, though.
Oh, I mean, I was trying to do things that were like disaster related, just not in the way you think of a disaster, you know.
It was actually brilliant. I liked it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And like, nice. Especially, you know, maybe you'll make some friends on YouTube because they're going to be like, oh my God.
He doesn't make Star Trek references often, but he's made like one or two Star Trek references in some of his videos from time to time. So maybe... Maybe he'd like to come on the channel one day. I have no idea.
That'd be fun.
He seems really busy because he cranks out a video a day almost.
He should make some kind of Star Trek bullshit. That'd be fun. Can he do that with like Sims? They've got so many expansions in Sims. He could totally do that.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Y'all are like, wow, Holly, no.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what they've done with Sims since I haven't done it in a long time.
Well, theoretically, they could do a Star Wars one since EA owns the license for Star Wars games, and they've been doing almost nothing with it for years, other than shitting on Star Wars almost as bad as Disney has.
to have a Sims-like Star Wars game, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, EA sure. owns the rights to Star Wars. They could literally do a Star Wars expansion if they wanted to, but I don't think they are.
See, you know, I stopped playing The Sims, and like, you have to buy expansions. You can't just have the game and just continue playing it. It's like, okay, there's an update due, and then you can't update until you buy this expansion. And it's just like, I don't have that kind of space. Like, I can't. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. You can always play the game without the expansion. You just don't get the new stuff.
Well,
that's the same thing with me. I don't play games really anymore because I just don't have the time for it. It's like, I used to do video games like in the 90s, but I just get so busy. It's just like, just can't get into it anymore.
The Sims will swallow you whole.
Well, Kaylee and I have been playing SimCity, and like, we play it, and it's like, I'm going to go to bed early, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's like, do you want to go to bed now? Mm-hmm. And she's like, later. And then she looks at the clock 15 minutes later. She's like, oh, it's late. I'm like, yeah, I know. Yes, I know. It's like SimCity is a time sucking void because it's got all that peaceful music and just like ambient noise, and then hours click by, and it's like, what the fuck just happened?
Yep.
I was talking to Chris Scioli on Zoom the other night, and we talked. It was like we got on the call like around midnight, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, what the fuck happened?
Chris is a fun to talk to. We should have Mech on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, he watched all of Picard too, actually. So
I don't think we need to do another postmortem on Picard.
No. I don't want to.
Picard postmortem part two. Just when you thought we were out, we pulled you back in.
We do it again. Yeah.
It has happened. It has happened, and it will happen again. Battlestar Galactica.
We should just do
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, we could do that. I'd have to rewatch it. It's been a very, very long time.
While we were talking, I thought it would be fun to do a movie, and I can't remember what it was.
12 Monkeys?
I mean, that would be good. And it wasn't The Passengers. I think it was when we were talking about...
Kill Bill?
Airplanes. Oh, Langoliers. Have you guys seen the Langoliers?
Nope.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it would be so much fun to do the Langoliers. It's a Stephen King book. And the Langoliers are time eaters. And there's a plane that that somehow gets drives through or flies through like this rift in time. And everybody on the plane, like there are, it's a group of like seven people. And like everybody else on the plane disappears. And they're like, what the fuck? And they land in the airport that they're supposed to be at, but it's the past, and they kind of figure that out somehow, and then they have to try to get back to the present.
We should still talk about Idiocracy sometime.
Yes, we should. Yes, we should do Idiocracy.
I'm looking up Langoliers. Stephen King. Is this an old movie?
It's an old movie.
Oh, 95.
Same year as 12 and a Half Monkeys.
12 and a Half Monkeys.
And Outbreak.
Outbreak, we could do that.
My acne outbreak was in full swing in 1995. And hasn't let up since.
There's like this little blind girl, and I think she's like the key to them figuring it out. And the Mona Lisa? The key to them like, finding home. Who?
The Mona Lisa?
You've never seen the movie, so I don't know why you're throwing out names. What's that mean? I was talking about Langoliers. I don't know.
What I know you were, but about. I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about.
You said a blind girl. Wasn't she blind?
Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Mona Lisa. Shit
about Mona Lisa, but I don't think Mona Lisa blind.
Wasn't blind. No, she wasn't blind. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
She's talking about Willis.
He's painting blind chicks over there. Sit still, blind woman.
I don't think she was blind. No, she just had that weird smile.
It's because she was blind. She couldn't see anything.
The nomadic smile.
She never saw herself in the mirror. She didn't know how to do it right.
She was like, smizing, okay?
Like those, it's like every preschool, picture kids do for us in elementary school because they don't know how to smile yet for the camera. They always have these weird smiles.
Bare their teeth.
Yeah, it's always really weird. They just don't know how to do it right. It's always hilarious. So,
What's real funny in SimCity, I had the city that was doing really badly, and Kaylee was like, I'll fix it. She cuts off the main road from the main route. She destroys all the utilities, turns the taxes all the way up as high as they'll go, traps everyone inside the city getting taxed out loud, and then they end up with like $3 million because they're trapped.
Wow.
But everything, but yeah, because the taxes are already up, they're trapped. There's a bus of tourists that are stuck in the city just driving around in circles because they can't leave because the only route outside the city has been cut off. They start eating
each other. The worst trip they ever took.
Yeah. They start eating each other. And since there's no power, hilarious. They start like catching everyone's houses on fire because they're and they're all homeless and they're paying taxes. They've got like $2 million, $3 million. And then I fixed the bridge and I rebuilt, and it seemed like it worked out okay.
So every once in a while, you just gotta be completely draconian in your in your management style.
Oh man,
that's amazing.
It was pretty amazing.
Cool.
Ready to go, everybody? All right.
Yeah, I guess so. How about you, Holly? Are you set to go?
Yeah, I'm just there's a right before I left work, I randomly asked the whole room. I was like, anybody got any favorite, you know, pandemic or virus forms of media that they like? And this guy was like, well, there's a doctor here in California who like has a podcast about the coronavirus. And I was like, seriously? So I'm just kind of trying to find that, but yeah, I'm good.
Oh no, we're all gonna die.
No, he like thinks it's all bullshit, I guess. I don't know.
Oh
yeah, I guess it's a, I think it's a YouTube thing. I don't think it's a really a podcast.
Oh, he's one of the plandemic morons.
I think it's called Perspectives.
Well, like the lady from Plandemic, that video that's everyone's are going crazy about because it keeps getting taken down. She's like, I went to jail for no reason at all. So like that's like setting up the conspiracy angle of it. But she went to jail in fact for stealing a whole bunch of stuff after she was fired from. I'm like, well, usually when you steal stuff from your ex-employer, it's probably especially if you work at the CDC, that's probably grounds for going to jail. She's like, no, there's no things at all. So like it just sets up this ridiculous premise. I'm just like,
I listened to a podcast, it's called Mysterious Universe, and they talk about her for this episode, and it's actually the story is a little more, has a little more to it than just that, but there's some interesting stuff behind it. I don't know if I'd buy into it. I'm just, anything. I just listen to it just for entertainment.
You know, she also said, why aren't people going to the beaches? I'm like, because you're going to get sick with all the people around. She's like, there's all this healing properties in the sand and in the water. I'm like, where? Most of our water is toxic waste.
I know we got friggin' waste from Tijuana coming up the coast here in California. Like,
oh, I know you guys must get like tons of shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And just like she's like, oh, the water is so good for you, and the sand is good for you. Like, what about toxic waste is good for you?
Look, I mean, sunshine, fresh air, that's good for anybody.
Yeah, but you can get that not at the beach. You can go outside and take a walk and get that.
Yeah.
No, but she was specifically talking about the water and the sand. And I'm like, yeah, no. And she says closing the beaches is insanity. I'm like, no, it's not.
Look, some germs are really good. Like,
cocaine is a great drug. I mean,
you know, there are, we can probably cite them, you know, but like, there's a really good movie about, well, actually, I'll just fucking bring it up on the show. But, you know, if you hibernate and stay away from all germs, the first time you're exposed to germs,
oh yeah, yeah. They say kids that grow up with dogs are more healthier because dogs get so much germs. So the kids get exposed to the germs.
That makes sense.
So they build immune systems up because
I mean, to a certain extent, if you've never encountered a germ in your life, sure. But most of us have, and like a lot of gamers are like built for the pandemic lifestyle. They want to sit inside and play their video games. But gamers also like to go to conventions, which are super dirty, and they don't all die of a plague because they went outside for the first time in months. So I don't buy the like.
You also gotta remember though, their controllers, they're not sterilizing their controllers, their equipment. You know.
Yeah, but they're also staying inside all the time, which is the whole point of them saying that staying inside is bad for you. You're gonna lose your whatever you're gonna lose from staying inside. Like, no, you're not.
Gamers, I mean, you do need sun to be healthy. You need vitamin D.
That's what milk's for. You lose in Mountain Dew. That's how gamers live.
That is pus from an animal that you are not related to. And yeah, pus. That's what milk is. Milk is just utter pus. And and they have to add vitamin D into that nasty crap.
No, I first of all, I do agree. I think I only do like dairy products sparingly. I do like dairy products, but I don't because it is a little gross because you are drinking milk.
I just flavor my coffee with jizz. Duh.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you could be. You don't know. Mm. You don't know. You just drink whatever white stuff is in the jug.
That's true. Could be anything.
He says.
The jizz shake brings all the girls to the yard.
Oh.
Yeah.
I do make exceptions for milkshakes. They are pretty good. So.
I like cheese.
What do you like?
I like cheese, which is moldy cow pus.
Oh, cheese. Oh, yeah. Cheese is awesome.
Yeah.
Cheese is the best.
All right, well, let's get into this podcast.
Let's get into pus.
Get into pus.
The pus factor. starting a new file.